Watching the news, you may get the impression that coronavirus is coming for you, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Experts are warning it's likely to become a pandemic. There are at least 11 confirmed cases in the U.S. Fears the number of cases in China could be far higher than reported.
The federal government has halted most travel into and out of China and quarantined people coming from the country. Around here, schools have canceled exchange programs, and many Chinese Americans have said they're feeling discriminated against. All this despite the fact that there have only been a handful of cases in the U.S. and none in the Philadelphia area. When does measured caution morph into paranoia? And why can it be a little tough to tell the difference? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman looked into what happened after the first potential case of coronavirus surfaced at a Quaker school in East Falls called William Penn Charter.
The school was hosting an exchange program for a group of Chinese students. They're about 15 years old, and for the past decade or so, every couple of years, a group of 18 kids come to the school, and then a group of Penn Charter kids go to China in exchange. The group arrived on a Tuesday, and by Thursday, one of the students from China wasn't feeling well. She had a fever. The group had traveled through Wuhan, which is where the coronavirus originated, and the student was exhibiting respiratory illness symptoms, so flu-like symptoms, runny nose, cough, sneezing.
They took a sample and told us that they would be sending it to the CDC for testing.
I talked to Sharon Sexton. She's an administrator at Penn Charter who was in the room for everything that happened next. And she and the administration were trying to figure out how to notify parents, how much to say. And they figured before they reached out to parents, they wanted to have a better understanding of the science behind the virus. So they reached out to a member of the Philadelphia Department of Public Health and met with them on that Sunday afternoon for about 3 hours.
He felt that the virus could be most easily compared to the flu and that it was a less serious illness than influenza, except for people who would be in that risk category, pre-existing conditions, elderly. And I think that the parents in the room were reassured. They felt that their kids were safe.
So feeling some sense of comfort, the parents and administration decided to send out an email notifying all the parents at the school that there was a student being tested for the coronavirus, but planned to have everybody, including all the exchange students, go to school the next day. Everybody except for the student who wasn't feeling well, who, no matter what her diagnosis was, presumably would stay home from school because she didn't feel well.
Business as usual. That's what we hoped for.
So the email went out that night, and the next morning it became clear to Sharon and the school leaders that the email had circulated well beyond the parental community.
Mm. Health officials are investigating a possible coronavirus case in Philadelphia. Officials say a Chinese exchange student at William Penn Charter School started feeling...
News outlets, including WHYY, were reporting that a Penn Charter student was being tested for the virus. And while most people had showed up for school that morning, by midday, all of the news stories and rumors circulating, Sharon said, had caused parents to start pulling their kids out of class. A healthcare professional canceled an appointment with a Penn Charter student, citing the risk of the virus. This is all according to Sharon. One bus driver tried to deny transportation to a group of Penn Charter students.
Wow. So just a mass exodus overall.
Pretty much.
We realized that we had felt confident when we went to bed on Sunday night in our ability to educate our own community. But what became apparent to us by lunch the next day was that we were just a small voice in an international news story and that we wouldn't be able to control the reaction.
So Penn Charter ultimately made the decision to cancel the Chinese exchange program. That next morning, Tuesday,
the exchange students and the host families were all in a house near the main campus, having breakfast and saying goodbye.
And that's when they got the test results back from the CDC, and they were negative. The student did not have coronavirus.
And I remember looking out the window. Can I start over?
Sure.
I remember looking out the window after I heard and seeing them rolling their suitcases, their luggage, to the bus to leave. It happened that quick. I turned around, and they were rolling their luggage to the charter bus to go to JFK.
So does Sharon regret the decision?
You know, she pretty much stands by it. I think it's worth noting that this was a 2-week-long exchange program in total.
Okay.
So the kids ended up going home, you know, maybe 5 or 6 days early. It's not like they had a full semester that they would have been remaining here. So I think that's one thing to consider. And there was another factor, which is that at the time, there was evidence that someone might be able to contract this illness from someone who wasn't showing symptoms. So when parents came to the school administration with that fear and said, how do we know that more of the exchange students who were in this at-risk area don't have this illness and just don't know it, the school could not in good faith answer that question because the science showed they actually might. Now, that science and that reporting has actually been called into question now a little bit. But the point is, there were just a lot of unknowns. This is a new virus that there are still a lot of unanswered questions about. And I think it's a pretty human reaction to feel fear of the unknown.
What do we know about the real risks involved in this illness?
Yeah, I think that's really important. So the coronavirus started in Wuhan, a city of 11 million people, in late 2019. It affects the respiratory system. It has the potential to turn into pneumonia. So far, it doesn't look like it's particularly deadly. The mortality rate is roughly 3%, which, for reference, is lower than the flu. Mm. The flu has killed more than 8,000 people in the United States this season alone. And similar to the flu, for coronavirus, the people who are more likely to die are, you know, the elderly, the immunocompromised, people who, when they contract the disease, already have some sort of underlying health issue, or people who don't have access to proper medical care, which is becoming increasingly common in cities like Wuhan or places that are quarantined in China, where doctors are running out of medical supplies and, you know, getting proper medical care is becoming harder and harder.
Okay, so in the United States, flights into and out of China have largely been canceled. The Trump administration has banned a lot of Chinese from entering the country. How much of this response makes sense from a public health standpoint to try to contain the virus, and how much of it is just fear-based reaction?
So much like the administrators at Penn Charter, public health officials in the United States are saying they're making science-based reactions too. It's just that some of those responses might seem pretty drastic in comparison to what we're used to seeing. So, for instance, a number of flights of passengers coming out of China to the United States, those passengers have now been quarantined for up to 2 weeks in the United States at the CDC's direction. You know, the United States hasn't put a quarantine into place in over 50 years. So this is a dramatic response, but it's one that public health officials are saying is in fact proportionate to mitigate the spread of this illness. That said, you know, around the world, there has been some explicitly xenophobic reactions to this virus. You have, you know, business owners in Vietnam putting signs in their windows that read "no Chinese." You have, you know, neighboring countries to China, citizens signing petitions to bar Chinese from their countries. A little bit closer to home, at UC Berkeley, there was a social media post from the administration there that included xenophobic sentiment and feeling guilty about it as a, quote, normal reaction that students might feel in response to the coronavirus that they might have to deal with. Temple and Penn both canceled their exchange programs for the semester for students to go to China. Students on campus there said they saw comments on social media that were definitely racially motivated and not fact-based at all. So Xiaoting Zhang is a Chinese-American senior. She's a public health major at Temple. And She said she's seen a bunch of memes floating around that paint Asian Americans as being vectors of disease.
Me, I feel kind of offended since I am a Chinese American, and like I feel like more need to be focused on like how to prevent it, like precaution wise, screening wise, rather than like making like it seem like a stereotype.
So there are some explicitly xenophobic responses to this that people definitely have to look out for. But I also think there are some responses that look like overreactions that actually, in reality, have more complex underpinnings.
More on that after a break.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with WHYY reporter Nina Feldman about the growing concern over coronavirus in the area. She says what may at first appear to be xenophobic reaction to the virus may be a bit more complicated.
So, for instance, in Philadelphia, the big Chinese New Year celebration at the Free Library was canceled, citing the coronavirus.
Right. I heard about that.
Yeah. And a lot of people thought, oh, man, this has got to be based on some sort of xenophobic fear. But I talked to Jennifer Chang, who runs the festival, and says that
it was coming from the performers.
The Chinese-American performers themselves, not enough of them were up for participating.
They were a chorus group. There's 30 of them. 20 of them would say, no, I will not come. I don't want to come. This is not the right time for me because of this outbreak.
And, you know, I asked her if she was afraid that canceling the event might stoke fear around the virus or around the Chinese American community unnecessarily. And she said no. She said people in the Chinese American community don't think that. The only people who've suggested that are members of the media.
I hear it from you, from the media, from other outlets, which I'm a little surprised by that reaction, because you have to know that with these immigrants, they have a connection to China. We still have loved ones back there who are suffering. So I can understand my people would say this is not the right time to celebrate. The New Year is supposed to be happy when you celebrate, when you have a program. You want to do it wholeheartedly.
But you also reported, Nina, that people not going out might actually be taking a toll on businesses in Chinatown too, right?
Yep. I went out with Layla Jones, who's a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn, to Chinatown, and we talked to business owners and restaurant workers there. And at least 10 of them who we spoke with said that business had been exceptionally slow. And most of them attributed that to fears about coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Chinatown is pretty quiet. I understand why, but I think it's kind of overreact because we have no evidence right now that Philadelphia has any affected patients. I mean, it's all suspect. But I understand why people are afraid to come out.
That's Jin Wong. He runs Lair KTV, which is a karaoke bar at Arch and 10th. And he said he was seeing about 30% of the business that he usually sees. So a precipitous drop. But he didn't seem too concerned. He said he understands why people are a little freaked out and he's confident the business would come back.
Is the reaction to coronavirus overhyped, do you think?
In some ways, absolutely not. I do want to make it clear, more than 400 people have died from this. That's no small matter. And nobody would want another flu floating around in the world. And in fact, I think that's really where the urgency is stemming from around this, is that right now we as a global community have the opportunity to stop a new virus from existing in the world and contain it. But in order to do that, communities all over the world have to work together and coordinate efforts and sound alarms to make sure that this virus does not spread.
We have a new disease. We have the ability to stop it from becoming a serious issue.
I talked to epidemiologist Mike Levasseur from Drexel University, and he said
we should put in the resources to make sure that this does not enter the general population.
So it's not so much the severity of the disease, but the fact that if we don't deal with it now, we might be dealing with it every year, and we're really trying to prevent that from happening?
Yes. And to do that, there has to be this sort of systems-level prevention effort and containment effort that, from the individual sort of layperson perspective, seem pretty radical and dramatic and extreme. And you're sitting here and you're thinking, wow, if we are taking these types of drastic measures as a society, this must be a really big deal. It must be really dangerous and deadly and scary, and I must be really afraid. And I think that's how a lot of the panic happens.
Thank you, Nina.
Yeah, thank you.
WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Tweet me at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.